As we settle back into our seats, we have a very special time ahead of us in our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And I myself am looking forward to hear all that is going to be spoken, as I haven't a clue what many of those we sent this past week to Honduras are going to share about giving their testimonies to what it is the Lord did in their lives this past week. Even though I was there with them, I can only assume what it is they're going to share about. I can only speak from my perspective and give my own personal account of the wondrous events and all the moments we had with one another. And the Lord, while overseas serving alongside our brothers and sisters with Manatee Davida and Pastor Freddie, along with EBED Ministries International, how blessed a time it was to be together, serving together. We were gifted such a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord and others, grow in Him and enjoy Him, and every bit of it all, every step of the way, as these things tend to go when you work for the Lord. It didn't really seem like work. Despite the hiccups, all the changed plans, the moment of, it's like we'd wake up knowing that, hey, we're going to do this today, and it's like, nope, we're going to do something else now. And who can forget the muggy heat? Yet, what a joy it was all the way. As I think you'll see with each and every one of the testimonies that you're going to hear shared today, all 14 of those testimonies. However, before we share those, I want to share an answer to a question that I often receive on the onset of any mission I ever lead or go on. And it's not to shame those who think about this question or even ask this question, but it's important that we deal with this question to set the record straight and get all of our hearts and minds on the right track. For it never fails, no matter what the mission is, where the mission is, the question always seems to come up. The question is why? Why go there? The ideology behind the question may seem sound at first, and it's not to be condemned, but it does need some realignment of perspective, because its premises are by nature flawed. Let me explain. Typically, the question, why go there, is asked. It is asked with the follow-up statement, when there are so many problems right here. Which there are. Jesus himself even addresses this and makes it clear we're always going to have problems right in front of us. We're never going to be short of problems amongst us. He even tells us the poor will always be with us. But this is no excuse just to ignore them. And if you are thinking that, you are absolutely right, which is why we don't, nor we are. We are actively engaged in living a life of mission right here in Exeter, California, day by day and week by week, as you can see, whether it be through our bread ministry, our strategic local partners like with Care Portal and other parachurch ministries, whether it be us joining with the iHeart Exeter and other ministry initiatives here in our community. We are doing what we can, how we can, when we can, however the Lord would lead us and provide for us too. When a door is opened by the Lord, we eagerly walk through it. With this being said, I want to provide three reasons, though, why it is we go there. As we seek to be everyday missionaries, exactly where God has planted us. Because that is what we are called to do as His church in Exeter, but also beyond. However, we know from Jesus' final instructions to the disciples before His ascension that the mission given was never meant to be to the confines of our city limits. Not only does the Great Commission call us to go to the nations to make disciples, but Jesus' words right before His ascension in Acts 1:8 calls us out of our Jerusalem, our Exeter, to the world around us, to be His witnesses as Jesus commands His people, His church, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It isn't by mistake that we have this wooden sign hanging in our foyer. That we would go to Exeter, to Larry County, to all the Central Valley, to the ends of the earth. To remind us that our mission as God's people, as God's church, knows no geographical boundary. And yes, we will always take care of the mission field right outside our backyard, right outside our front doors. We will always take care of our neighbor. And I love how Mr. Bjarke talked about that this past Sunday. Who is our neighbor? Who are we willing to make our neighbor? Who are we willing to be a neighbor to? That was such a profound way of putting that. I never heard it said that way before. Never once. And what a powerful way of thinking about that. We will always be willing to be a neighbor. And the thing is, that neighboring happens wherever God will be willing to send us. And as long as God's willing to open the door, we must be willing to go through it. So why go there? Well, Jesus calls us to go there. He calls us to go here. He calls us to go there. And everywhere he opens the door for us to go and gives us the opportunity to go. That is why we go there. It also goes without saying that there is an impact and a growth on an individual's life of faith in Christ when they go. It causes a significant and noticeable change because what was once only theoretical or an idea has now become a tangible reality. It is now real. That is my continual testimony because every time I go, it becomes more and more real. The mission becomes real. The places become real. The projects become real. The people become real. And the impact of what we are doing becomes real. I love what one of our missionaries said when we first walked into Manitoula, the Vida, our sibling church that we've been partnered with for over 21 years. Are these the chairs that we bought them several years ago for our Christmas offering? Like, they knew that those were the chairs. The project became real. Pastor Freddie's office, every time I go in there, when I need to do my own personal study when I'm in Honduras, because I got to prepare a message, because he's like, oh, you're preaching in like 3 hours. I'm like, well, that was good to know. it's like, I have to prepare now something. And it's just like, we gave Pastor Freddie this space so that he could have that privacy space to do counseling, whatever it would be, that space that he can get away and do what he needs to do, that study space. And here it is, he shares it, and it's being used for what it's meant to be used for. The community soccer field that we get to visit every time I've been there. He's always taken the groups that I've gone with up to the soccer field, and he always points out the things that this group did this, but you all did this. He's always pointing out the things that, you know, how grateful they are for our contributions of what we have done to impact the community as a whole of Val Concepcion, and just all the other testimonies and the impact. The mission becomes real. The people's faces are no longer photographs, but they're real people, they're relationships. And then there's these testimonies that we get to hear that are no longer just words on paper, but actual real life stories.
Alexandra Yara, and also the sister that makes the snack or the food for the kids. Also to the sponsors, to the teachers, to Vilma, teacher Vilma, Pastor Freddy's sisters. Also to the doctors. And I would like also to thank the sponsor and to our brothers here and sisters. We know that you guys are the ones that support us so that each children has their present in Christmas.
Todo este gran equipo.
All this big team.
Es el que hace posible.
Makes it possible.
El funcionamiento y el crecimiento de Catra Kids.
The improving of Catra Kids.
Catra Kids para la vida de mi hijo es de la bendición.
For myself, for my boy, Catra Kids a big blessing. Different ways.
Por ejemplo, el espiritual.
To tell something.
El espiritual.
Spiritual life for my boy.
Él ha aprendido a orar.
He has learned how to pray.
A cantar alabanzas.
To sing, praising.
Y a participar en la coreografía.
And he also participated like in this choreography.
En el área física.
And also physically.
Ha recibido chequeos odontológicos.
He has received like dental care. Medical exams, physical exams, and also in the intellectual area. His teacher learned how to math, in social emotional. He shares with his partners. And I can see that he's like not so shy as before. And he participates a lot.
And that was one of the mothers of one of the Catra kids talking about the impact that the program has had on her son and your contributions to that program and how it is transforming her son holistically in the best of ways. You know, what was just once pictures on a screen, words from someone else's mouth, now is a lived experience. And you can't trade that for anything. There is not another Bible study, a small group, or conference that's ever going to be able to teach that. It is only done by actually going and doing. And it's something that you can only experience by actually being there. And, you know, it's just, that's discipleship. It's life on life experience. Somewhere throughout the 2,000 years of Christianity, we lost a fundamental truth about discipleship we need to desperately recapture in today's world. And that's discipleship cannot be taught in a classroom. It has to be lived out. Missions, especially those that separate us from the distractions, comforts, and routines of home, and let us truly give our focus to the Lord, our full focus, allow us for discipleship experiences to happen, subtle yet powerful. Those powerful experiences, not just for those who go with, but for those you go to, as we learn just as much, if not more, from those we go to serve. They disciple us. They teach us. Why we go there? The growth on both ends of the spectrum, there and here, it goes without saying. And because we cannot afford not to, especially in the day and age of spiritual apathy we live in today, as we seek to be a people, a church, we desire to be know Christ and to make Him known. Meaning, to this we will go. Finally, why do we go there? The relationships. It matters. The relationship matters and is proof of the former reason, showing us what God has done matters, and what He has given us with Manitila De Vida is so special, and we must do well to honor this gift given to us by God. It is indeed a generational story. Pastor Freddie has a wonderful picture, and I want to show this picture. The picture of us from 2009. Many of us aren't in the photo. Many of you are. 4 years into our relationship together, I love the words on this picture. It was our mission of our family of families then, pouring our lives into the next generation. And I just want to point out, probably point a lot of people out here. First and foremost, here's the Grimms. You can see the Grimms in there. And, you know, Cindy, the original great, the OG, celebrating a return to Honduras 21 years later. But who's that little baby in this next photo? There's a little baby there. I want to tell you, that's not Jacob. That little baby's Jackson. That is baby Jackson right there. Jacob is in this next photo. That's Jacob right there. It got kind of blurry. Didn't get a good shot of that one. I should have done better on that one. Well, this makes me think of Psalm 145:4. One generation shall commend your works to another, generation to generation, and shall declare your mighty acts. Pour our lives into the next generation. Today, continue to do this as we seek to know Christ and to make him known. That is why we go. The relationship matters. The impact and growth in the lives of those who go is unquestioned. Furthermore, he calls us to go. If there needs to be any I'm going to now turn it over to Team Honduras 2026 to share their testimonies to further show why it is we go there. And we're going to kick this time off with a testimony from Ethan, who couldn't be here today because he is celebrating his last Sunday with his family of families in Farmersville today.
Going to Honduras was something that I have been looking forward to for 2 years now. But going into it was not a complete fear-free thing for me, as I had already graduated from the youth group, so I hadn't seen most of the people in the group for more than a year at that point. So going into it kind of felt like going into a group of strangers. But then seeing everyone again at the community event at the Exeter Veterans Building, kind of, I fit right back into the group, and it made me a little less anxious for going to Honduras. Now, at Honduras, we did a lot of work stuff. We did the art camp. We painted rooms. And overall, I really enjoyed doing the work, and I really enjoyed meeting the children at the art camp. I really enjoyed meeting just the people who would wave at us whenever we were walking from Pastor Freddie's house to the church. The moment that really woke me up to Honduras was when we walked to one of the ladies who goes to Pastor Freddy's church, who was not able to go for health reasons, and delivered groceries. And she was still there praising the Lord. She wasn't able to go to church. She wasn't able to do all the things that we have the privilege of doing with our health care here in America. But she was still praising the Lord. And she was happy to see us. She gave us all hugs. We prayed for her. And I think the thing that Honduras will stick with me for Honduras is just the humility. We are so blessed to live in this country where we have great health care. We have, we have the privileges that we have here. Where we could, where we don't have to build our own churches. We could have construction teams do it. We don't have to build our own homes. But over there, that's what they have to do. So I think that's what stick with me with the humility, you know? The servanthood. Helping others, you know? Washing others' feet instead of my feet getting washed in that metaphor. I pray that the experiences of Honduras will stick with me for when I become a pastor, and that I will always remember Honduras 2026.
Amen. Yeah, the trip was amazing. My most favorite thing from the trip was when we were in the church service. And they get the piano going, and the drums are going, and they got this song called Fuego. Fuego, 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 fuego. And like there's definitely a language barrier, but during that song and all the songs during the worship set that they had for us, you could tell that the Holy Spirit was moving in that building, and you just clap along. You might not know the words, but you just be a part of their service was great. Like Ethan was saying, when we went to Sister Raina's house to deliver groceries, she was going through diabetes. She's lost a couple toes. She's probably going to lose her foot, but through it, she was praising the Lord, saying, "Gracias, del Señor, Jesús. Thank you, Lord Jesus." Just that childlike faith that that she's displaying. It really ministered to me. It struck me in that she could be going through something so chaotic in her life that she's still able to praise the Lord through it. And that's something that we all need to live in our lives. But overall, I'm just thankful that I got the chance to go and really experience the impact that our church has made in their community and all the kids, that their lives are being changed through the Contra Kids program. And I just want to say thank you, God, and thank you guys for your prayers. It was really a great time.
I know that when we were coming here, one of my fears was the language barrier. And I was like, worried, how will we communicate? What if I say something wrong and say something that I did not say? But once we were there, I kind of forgot about that. We arrived very early. We had a bit of rest, like 11 hours. I'd say 11 hours after a 24-hour travel. We had 11 hours to just, like, rest. And once that happened, we went over to the church. We went there, and then we did art camp. And as we went through art camp, as we were doing this, we were, like, I was gesturing, "Hey, could I help you real quick?" And as they're doing their tie-dye, or as they're doing paint rockets, just seeing their excitement as the rockets just go poof up in the air as they go cheer. And then during that time, once they got knew what to do, they were pretty much just like walking back forth to send the rocket run away and watch it. I learned a bit of Spanish so I could communicate a little bit with them. And just being able to communicate that a little bit with them was amazing. And then as the next day of art camp came, we did the clay. And as we did the clay, we were just teaching them about how we were made in His image. And the third day, I'm pretty sure the third day was the trees, but we couldn't do the trees because of the rain. It rained so hard that we couldn't plant the trees around the river, so instead we went painting. And as we painted, we had this amazing time. Some of us painted, some of us digged up a pile of rubble. Did I say it right? Okay. As we did that, we had this we had this amazing time and just like having that adaptable schedule because we were serving them. We were not there for us, but we're serving them for what they needed us to do.
Good morning, everyone. I got some notes. I didn't really know what to expect going on this mission trip. This is my first mission trip, and I kind of was seeing it more of a vacation at the very beginning. And when we got there, I was given charge of taking care of one of the boys, and that kind of changed everything. At that point, I started praying because I didn't know what to do. I started praying for wisdom and patience the most, and it was really incredible how fast God answered that prayer. And for the rest of the trip, I really didn't have any issues. it was a lot of fun taking care of the boys, which is funny because I ended up getting two more boys. I was in charge of three of them. And that was, it was fun trying to keep the boys from annoying the girls too much. But, let's see, get back to my notes. Yeah. One thing, every night we would get together and we'd talk and we'd read the Bible. And then Brandon would tell us to go and have some alone time to just sit with the Lord and think about the day. And one thing that the Lord kept putting on my mind was to let go. And I was stressed at the beginning of the trip. I was stressed for other people. And I feel like everybody else's stress was being absorbed into me too. And the Lord just kept saying, let go, let go, let go of the stress. Just be there. And as soon as you listen to him, you'd be surprised how things start working out. And it was a wonderful experience, just being able to trust in him and his plan. I had my own plan, but that wasn't the right plan. I was just filled with energy and positivity the whole trip. And I've never felt anything like that before. For the whole trip, I didn't really have any low points. It was incredible, honestly. It was just kind of incredible to realize that, you know, Jesus has your back for anything, even if it's just stressed out from a trip or whatnot. And, you know, he really kind of showed me to just be ready to be used by him. This is one thing you just have to let go. It kept coming up. Let go, listen to his plan. And so this trip was really good for me specifically. It was incredible seeing, like, Freddie and meeting the lunch ladies and them working hard, and they were serving us, and so to give back to them and to work for them, and to, you know, it was really, really awesome. One thing I did notice, I've never noticed before, I've traveled a lot, and I've been in a lot of airports, but I've never noticed how many other people are out on missions. And when we were standing in the airport several times, other people would come up to us because of our t-shirts and ask about us and ask about our mission. And we probably ran into a dozen groups with over a dozen people in each group, all on separate missions all over the place. And these are just people who had been ready to go with the Lord's plan, you know, ready to work and to serve. And I thought that was really interesting that it just kept coming. Like every 10 minutes, we'd have another person come up to us and tell us about their story and how they're serving. My hope is that all the youth continue to take these quiet moments with the Lord and reflect on whatever is going on in their life or someone else's life, and to just, you know, be ready to be used and to follow his plan. This trip has really filled me with his spirit. And it feels like I could take on the world now. So it was a great trip. I'm really glad I went.
Bear with me. Get your tissues. I'll try to read it without crying. Mine's kind of a different take, but just bear with me. In order for me to truly reflect on the impact of this missions trip,
I had to allow myself some space to think about the past few years leading up to now, because I didn't know how to put the trip into words. My entire Christian life, starting way back in high school, leadership opportunities in children's ministry and youth ministry have always been who I am. Coming to Church of God in 2007, I began to find myself assisting in children's ministry and becoming one of the intern leaders in the nursery ministry. Being a leader is a gift and a responsibility I've always taken seriously, and almost become the only identity I've known. Fast forward a few years, those roles disappeared, and I was left with a hole in my life. Now what, Lord? I'd often pray. I was still leading in my classroom, and so I dug in and continued to minister to the kids in my daily care. The Lord always filled my classroom with kids who were unloved, struggling, and desperately just wanted to be seen. God called me to love them, to extend grace, to be kinder to those than those in their past. These class rosters pushed me, challenged me, and triggered my own past, brought up emotions I didn't know were buried deep within. But God had been doing a work in me, but I didn't recognize because I was so busy pouring into others. I was filling my calendar and prepping activities and lessons that drew my attention away from what God needed me to be. Still, quiet, and just me. I wasn't ready. In 2020, I became the president of the Lindsay Skimmer Swim Club, leading the board for 6 years, sacrificing every summer, losing myself to constant stress, and it was draining me. I was freed this past year of almost all major leadership roles that ate up all of my time, energy, and created emotional baggage. Being still, quiet, and sometimes wondering my identity as a less busy woman has been my new and uncomfortable norm. When Danny became our youth pastor, I remember driving home and he called me. "I want you to be one of our youth leaders." I was truly hesitant. Did I really want to be a youth leader while my kids were in the youth group? I'm always with them. Will there be time for them to grow spiritually and personally without me being present? Could they be themselves? Would they open up and be honest? Why am I always in the mix? But I heard God say, "This is not about them. It's about you and me. You need it." Sorry. Danny challenged us as youth leaders. Our youth leadership wasn't about leading activities or prepping lessons for others to teach or even myself to teach. Youth leadership has been the spiritual growth that I desperately needed. It was my spiritual small group. Unpacking emotional trauma, learning to have fun and be still at the same moment. When Danny proposed the plan on us taking this trip to Honduras, I was super excited to see how God would challenge us leaders and the kids. But when Danny moved and we discovered he wasn't joining us on the trip, I was truly disappointed. I didn't know what to expect from the trip. I didn't know how to prepare myself for what God would show us or do through us or how he'd use us. As a leader and a mom of youth also going, I just had to trust God and go along with it. Arriving in Honduras was exciting. A new place, a new village, but I still didn't know what God had for me, and I wasn't in charge. I didn't have any direction. It was just me, on a bus, in a kitchen, at the table, on my bunk. I found myself still and quiet. I didn't want to add my opinion. I didn't know how to invest, so I just observed. I prayed, and I waited for the Lord to move. There were many moments where I didn't feel anything. I'd question my reason for even being on the trip. But then the music started. The band played, the drums and the music was loud, and my body moved. I was overwhelmed by worshiping the Lord in Spanish. I recognized the songs. I just couldn't think in English. The Spirit was moving. I did my best to read the screen and sing in Spanish. It was glorious worship. Then I'd get a hug from a stranger, a hug that lasted longer than the ones in the U.S. The warmth, the genuine appreciation, and the affection through Jesus Christ. The exchange of Instagram names and adding them as friends, the selfies and laughter, delivering precious gifts to our sponsored children from you in this church. Seeing the children smile and trying to communicate even if our languages clashed. Hearing from moms whose children are experiencing the Contra Kids program. The hands that served and cooked our meals, the smiles exchanged, because love was behind every act of servanthood. I didn't have to be a leader in charge of anything to make an impact. I just needed to be the quiet example of love. And I needed to be shown that living simplicity adds joy to one's life. The people of La Concepcion are truly poor. They don't have access to a mailbox or a postal service. They don't have big stores to visit. Walls are empty, furniture is simple, houses have the basic necessities of life, and nothing more. Outdoor kitchens, clotheslines, and simple meals provide all they need, yet their hearts are full and their smiles speak joy. I am convicted by the amount of stuff that fills our homes and lives. Why are we chasing the next best thing to add to our treasure trove of stuff? What is the purpose of that? Does it truly bring joy? Is it pleasing to the Lord? What use is complaining? Instead, I was challenged just to be still. God asked me to allow the identity of leader to fall away and just be in the moment. So I gave myself permission to be like Daniel in the lion's den. The lions that had prowled around me, challenging my thoughts, adding toxicity to my words, wanting to devour my confidence and eat me alive from the inside, were muted. I was left with a space of silence within my soul. I allowed the others to speak, to lead, to be in charge, and I sat. I took in the beauty of nature that overwhelms the country of Honduras. I listened to the birds and I enjoyed the rain and thunder at night. I hugged those kids and became a leader of love instead of a leader of man. Leadership doesn't have to be out loud, as God is teaching me. He is showing me that there is freedom in having an innocent faith. That phrase came to my mind each and every day in our devotional time. Innocent faith. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have nothing to hide from. I have nothing to hold on to. Jesus just wants me, his child, to run into his arms every single day with an innocent faith and a heart full of gratitude for the simple gifts of life and nothing more.
How am I supposed to follow that up? Honduras was, I think, really special to all of us. For me, I really felt like the biggest takeaway for me was seeing Pastor Freddie and his mission and all the things he's doing in Honduras. We've been partners with him for a long time at this church, and you know, I've seen him and he's come to visit and I've even talked to him, but it does not feel real until you are there and you see those kids and you're at the church and you're worshiping with them and you're talking to the congregation, and it just really came alive for me. And seeing the difference we have made as a church, and seeing the chairs that we fundraised for, and the stadium that I think we helped build, and all these things that our church did to help them and to encourage the body of Christ. And you know, Pastor Freddie kept saying, like, we are the body of Christ, we're family, and it's true. I also think the things we're taking home is we really grew as a group. We grew together, we grew stronger, and Danny assembled this group and the leaders and the kids, and you know, we were always a good group, but I feel like after this, we know each other. We're coming back stronger. Yeah, it's been really good. My favorite moment was our very last day. The worship team at his church was like dragging me and Jacob on stage, and they wanted us to all play and sing together. And they were singing in Spanish, and we were singing in English. But you know, it's the Spirit of God moves. It doesn't matter what the language is. And that was really special and beautiful. And just thank you to all of you for supporting us and praying for us. We really appreciate it.
My turn.
Oh, it only gets better. I'm going to talk about meeting somebody very special, because I believe I felt this like in the middle of it all, even before I went. I kept telling Alex, God's got something really special planned for you. And he'd be like, okay, Mom, whatever, you know, kind of a thing. And so it was kind of like there was a special mission stuffed inside, wrapped around this mission trip that we took. And I think that you're going to hear it through all of us. It was a trip that felt more like hanging out with family, sharing meals with them, talking, communicating, helping them out with projects. Like if I were to go to my sister's house in New Mexico, and she's like, well, I've been working on this, I'm going to go, well, let me help you. That's the feel that the whole trip had, just family being with family. But I'd like to especially talk about the church service last Sunday morning. I turned on my camera when one of the moms, not the one that was up there, but another mom, got up to speak to us about her son being in the Kotcher Kid program. And when I started recording, I didn't know who this mother was. So imagine my surprise when she said, Senora Cindy and Ray. Now, every evening, we would share our highs, our lows, our buffaloes. And I have to tell you that my best high and my best buffalo was listening to our sponsored boy's mother, where am I at, tell us just how much it meant for him to know that God had answered his prayers because he really wanted to meet his sponsor. I won't go into all the details, but let's just say it was a very emotional moment for us, and I couldn't help myself. I had to hop up and give her a big hug. I know that all of you, just like Ray and I, have sponsored children through many other wonderful organizations, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that. But if you have a little bit more you can share, you have to please consider sponsoring one of these 22 children back here. Although it's probably less than 22, because I think several of us have already stepped up to sponsor a child. I want to thank you, church family, every one of you who donated financially to these kids. Thank you, because what you did was pour into their lives so that they could experience a mission trip that will impact them and grow them and move them for the rest of their life. And someday they will be you, and they will be financially sponsoring somebody up here, and it's going to go on. It's going to be generational. And I'll stop now.
Good morning.
Para mí es un placer estar aquí.
It's a pleasure for me being here.
Primeramente,
dar gracias a Dios. And I would like to give thanks to God.
Porque sin él nada es posible.
Because without him, nothing is possible.
También agradecer a Pastor Freddy.
I would also thank our Pastor Freddy.
And Pastor Brando.
Pastor Brando. And at this moment, we know that he is part of this.
Muy importante lo que es este programa.
Very important what this program is.
¿Verdad? También agradecer.
We also will say thanks
a cada una de las personas
to each one
que da un granito de arena
that helped with a little bit
para que este programa
so
sea
this program will be possible.
Agradecer.
We thank.
Cada detalle,
por each detail
que reciben los niños,
that children is like the whole world.
También agradecer, ¿verdad? Por último, pero no menos importante.
I also thank, at last, but no less important,
a la señora Cindy.
To Cindy.
Y a Ray, creo. Ray.
Your husband?
Ray. Okay.
We thank you, Cindy, to you and your husband, for opening your heart.
Going on this missions trip was a really fun and really fun opportunity for me to go and to just go and help these people, but also grow more into Christ. And my favorite parts of on this missions trip was the going to the church services. The first church service, we just walked in and sat down. But as the as Pastor Freddie talked, he told us to go up, stand up, and go talk to say hi to the people. And that's what we did. And just going and them welcoming us and giving us handshakes or hugs, whether it's like they brought us in as family. And from that church service on to the next ones, it was always handshakes, hugs, highs. It was just amazing. And going back, like, these people, they're not very, they don't have all the bells and whistles that we have here. And just how they're able to just continue to pray and to just worship God is just truly wonderful, that they always have faith in Him no matter what is going on in their life. And on the last night, we were doing high lows in our buffaloes. And my high was being able to leave. And everybody else was like, what? Why would you want that? And the reason was my high was because leaving would also challenge me and to continue on with my spiritual journey with Him and being able to have those silent times, reading the Bibles, doing devotions, and going on this trip really helped me with that. And yeah.
I felt that Honduras changed just a lot. It changed our perspectives on just our life in America here and how we're so blessed. I mean, people lived outside, you know, they would only like go in to sleep, and it was just really hot there too. But we were worried that we wouldn't have any fun. It would be miserable and we'd just like work all day, but that wasn't true. We ended up having a lot of fun, especially with the kids and the work and just building beds, because we all collaborated on something. And it was a blessing to have. I mean, sometimes you don't really like realize all the stuff you have here. And it just really makes you think. It's really sad too. And I just feel like it changed everyone's perspective here, and it just changed our hearts a lot, and I feel like I want to go back again, and I want to experience all that over.
Honduras, it's a special place to me. Before going there, I was worried about like just not knowing what this place is. All I knew it was like a hot, humid place that was going to be raining all 7 days we were there, and also kind of like not knowing how like developed that village is and like how we're going to like make it through. Like before going to Honduras, I was already looking forward to like seeing how much more appreciative I would be being an American citizen in the United States. And this trip really helped me with that, even though I was like, I thought I was already appreciative, but the first person perspective of that is just seeing all these people grateful for the Lord and in the situations we saw them in. It really like humbling experience to me. It's just the hot humid place too is the work. I was expecting it to be like just hot and sweaty and like just hard work, but what I noticed was is like when we were able to put God first in our work, it was fun to me. I enjoyed it, and the heat really didn't bother me. Even though my shirt ran out of room to put my face sweat in, and I'm serious about that too. But yeah, it was just actually a great experience doing labor, which is what was weird to me, but it was like cool at the same time. And those kids were like really, it was really cool to be around. They were happy and they were also really good listeners. I mean, they were better at forming a line than kids at Wilson Middle School. Yeah, I would say that honestly. Yeah. It was just cool to see, and they had like the biggest smiles on their face while we were doing the art camp, and they hugged us all goodbye with like big hugs, and it was like, oh, it's so cute. But and also the church service was unforgettable, and really hearing the mother of the kid of Cindy's. That Cindy's sponsoring, Cindy and Ray, her testimony was, it was beautiful. It was special to me, just hearing that, and really unforgettable. And then also, right after the service, we went to deliver these groceries to Grandma Rena, right? Rena? Yeah. Sister Rena. She really needed it. And after hearing her some of her story, she raised a big family in a house that looks not much bigger than a garage in your suburban housing, and she's going through the diabetes that was treated really late, and she probably could lose her foot because of it, and we prayed for her and we kind of left, but just. After our prayer, she was like hands in the air, happy and praising the Lord and just scream like at the top of her lungs. Was so happy just to be there, and it really opened my eyes. It made me start thinking a lot about living here in America, hoping the house, the AC gets the house to 75 degrees, and not go any up from there, and just seeing how I've seen a lot of people, you know, at my school or really anywhere, just living like almost like it's normal, or they don't know how much they have, and it was a beautiful experience to me. Like literally in the church service, loud music. They were jumping around. There was so much prayer and praising. And they were just happy to be there in church at the first place. So, you know, it was just special. And like overall, I would say it was a great place to be. The people in there were great. Even the people passing by the church, they were smiling and waving at us once we waved back. And it was just a eye-opener. This trip definitely put me in a more appreciative way, part time, like in my life. You know, I'm starting to appreciate really thinking about all the stuff I have, and this trip has made me my love and thankfulness for our Lord just much higher than it's ever been, and it's just something I will never forget. Yeah, thank you.
Going on this missions trip was something I'll never forget. Just looking at, well, once we got there, well, it was dark and you couldn't really see anything. So it was like, what am I expecting to look at and see what they actually have and compared to other places that I've been, and just the similarity. But just looking around and seeing that they don't have much, it's just tree and greenery around. But once we started doing some stuff in art camps and painting, the room that the next group will be able to stay in was something that was humbling, and just working without any knowledge of what to do, but just going in there and doing it was something that just was so, something that I just need to remember to just stay humble and just serve other people and not just always myself or just people that I know in general. Just to go out and do things without knowledge or wisdom and just to do it. Just to see all the kids during art camp was just so, like, just made a smile on my face. Just seeing how welcoming they were, had no clue who we were, just running up to us, giving us big hugs, and just seeing their smiles on their faces. One of the projects we did were little bottle rockets with these little capsules, and just seeing them go feet in the, like, super high in the air was something that was their smiles, and me trying to get them to keep going up when they weren't going, I would go over there and shake them, and they would explode all over me, and they were making fun of me with all the colors I had on my legs. But just to see their smiles on their face were something amazing. And Marco, Doreen's sponsor child, he had paint on his hand out of one of the activities we did, and he was trying to put it all over Andrew and wanted to put it all over. So he came up to me, and he put his arms on my hand, my arms, his hands. And his prints were on my arms, and it was just so great to see his smile, and it just was like, well, I need to keep helping out and just seeing all the amazing smiles throughout all the hard times that we think that we have are hard, but compared to what they have over there, it's so humbling just to see how they live with such little things, and we have a whole bunch of things over here, and we take it for granted, so it just is really eye-opening.
This mission trip challenged my heart in ways I never expected. Seeing how people live with so little made me realize how much I have to be thankful for. I often take the little things for granted, but this experience reminded me that every blessing is a gift from God. Even though many of the people we met didn't have much, greet us with joy, love, and faith. This inspired me, and I am thankful. I am so thankful God gave us this opportunity, and I hope next time the youth group goes, it would be 10 times better.
Amy Morales has been with she's been a youth leader for six, seven years. Her son, Junior, is part of our group. If you still don't know what I'm talking about, she's the manager at Me and Ed's Pizza. Does that make everything clear? Okay. She's working today, and so she typed this out and asked me to read it. She says, what I expected from the trip to Honduras was nothing compared to what I received or experienced from the Lord. Leading up to the day, all I could focus on was worst case scenario, the heat, the humidity, and mosquitoes. Our experience at IYC, both in Florida and Texas, had me ready for the worst and dreading it in the same time. Seeing our fellow leadership team's suitcases all packed with the same ingredients, bug repellent patches and sprays, sunscreens, mini fans. I'm styling one right now. Lifesaver. I could tell that we were all thinking the same thing and definitely prepared, or so we thought. We were prepared for physical aspects of the journey in the rainforest, but not the spiritual and emotional aspect of it all. We weren't prepared to see Jesus. He was there in every part of the journey. The weather changing our originally planned agenda to guide us to the tasks he wanted from us. He was there with every Honduran child and family we met and encountered. The locals were so grateful and humble with joy in the basic, simplest basic things. They are living in unclean conditions with no resources and with so little to their name, and yet they still have joy and happiness speaking in Jesus' name that needed little translation, as the only common language was the word and the praise of the Lord. I watched our youth make friends with others who didn't speak any English, and despite that language barrier, they still came home with shared Instagrams so they can communicate and keep in touch with the intent of helping them despite the distance. I could go on forever with many stories on the bonding experiences we had and the amount of work we helped La Concepcion with during our stay, but I will move on to my takeaway of the spiritual journey. Returning home was hard for me, mainly because you can feel the shift in the spirit as you come back to the States. It's harder to hear and see God when the States are filled with so much hate for one another. The moment we landed in Texas and were in line to go through customs, I could see our youth still talking in Spanish with their inside jokes with the locals around them, and with the American people were already judging them for their broken Spanish. One person said, "I forgot we are in a racist country again." That's so sad. One of our youth said that. I couldn't agree more. So we can learn so much for the Hondurans, and it is so hard to see them struggle, knowing that our $1 is worth $25 of theirs, and yet they have so little. 26?
Yes, $26.
25, 26. 6, 7. Hey, they know that joke over there. They know the 6, 7 joke over there. Okay. Not even an address to send if I wanted to send anything. There are no addresses. I will be sponsoring a little girl who sat next to me with no idea of who I was and talking away, knowing that I had no idea what she was saying. I just understood her innocent faith in Jesus, and I knew my $50 a month could change her life forever, and I will make it work. I'm still communicating with the translator who lived 40 minutes away in getting me an address so I could possibly spend more needed supplies. She's doing this on her own. Well, we may be helping, but I believe I was meant to see that oasis of innocent faith that Jesus made, because I am able to help. I'll end with this. I'm glad our small town cares enough for one another more than those cities that are just 10 minutes away. We are already starting our own innocence, our own oasis of innocence faith here in Exeter, and I hope it becomes contagious.
Gathered in your name with this. expectancy and faith. We are waiting. We are waiting. Give us boldness to proclaim all the wonders of your grace. We are ready. Yes, we are ready. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. Send us with for the lost, love that sent you to the cross. We receive it, yes, we receive it. Jesus, you were worth it all. No matter what the cost, we believe it. Oh, we believe it. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in our hearts, send us with
That is why we go, and that is why we are going again. At this time, we invite you to go in peace as we continue our mission, our everyday mission, as everyday missionaries, exactly where God has planted us, right here in Exodus and beyond. And you may go in peace. Blessings and peace to you all.